Joining us here is Caitlin McCulloch of the Livestock Marketing Information Center. And Caitlin, it was a wild ride in the livestock markets last week, particularly the cattle markets. And so just from all the notes and information that you compiled last week, help me wrap our head around what happened and some of the highlights from last week's market roller coaster.
Well, to say it's been exciting times would be an understatement. And last week was no different, but I thought we saw a couple of positive things in the cutouts for both beef and pork, but we still are posting very high volumes of hog slaughter and cattle slaughter. So last week, cattle slaughter was estimated at 653,000 head, which is 3.7% above last week, and hog slaughter was estimated at 2.8 million. About 5.4% above last week and 11.5% above a year earlier. And so we're posting fairly aggressive gains there. But one of the more positive things I saw was the box beef cutout climbed tremendously. It was over $35 a hundredweight higher than the prior week. And the pork cutout jumped about $7.50 per hundredweight. But one thing we saw on that side was the number of loads increased tremendously. It's one of the largest week-over-week jumps that we've seen since 2016. And all of that points to positive consumer demand. So even though a lot of places, the restaurants have closed and folks aren't eating out as much, we have seen some of that consumption get back. We've gotten some of that consumption back through grocery store sales and the purchase of those meats. Now, I'm in Denver, Colorado, and I know our grocery stores have sold out of the meat case, and it doesn't matter whether it's beef, pork, or chicken. We've had those cases have pretty much emptied over the last couple of weeks, and probably some of that increase in both cutouts are retailers coming back to backfill their cooler spaces.
And so, Caitlin, as we talk about those beef cutout prices, as you just stated, those saw some jumps last week. But unfortunately, on the other side of the spectrum, cattle prices, those took some sharp declines. But why that stark difference?
So on the fed cattle side, I think we're looking at the longer term picture. And when those feeder cattle are going to come out as fed cattle, I think the picture still remains quite a bit uncertain. One thing we've been discussing with other analysts and experts is how long does the coronavirus or COVID-19 impact our livestock markets, our lives? And this goes beyond the livestock market. We're talking about the U.S. economy, the world economy, facing some pretty harsh realities that in what looks like a recession. Now, the magnitude and duration is probably the key things to what we're going to when we can kind of see the livestock sector turn. So we're at a period in time where beef, pork, and chicken over the last year and a half have dramatically increased production to meet protein demands related to African swine fever, which was a huge disease impact in China and in Asia. And so we were really ramping up demand, and then we hit this COVID-19 issue, and all of that is sort of up in the air. And so as we look forward, the questions are, are we going to see very much export demand for those countries that were hit by ASF? Is it going to be the same as we were expecting before? And we still don't know if even the countries that seem like the spread has stopped, whether they're going to see a resurgence. And then the U.S. economy itself, I mean, we do export quite a bit of meat protein, but still the majority is consumed here for a lot of those products. And so when the domestic consumer possibly eats quite a bit less because of food service industries being closed, that's all going to be very impactful. And how long that lasts, we still don't know.
And so stemming off that thought, Caitlin, as we compare international versus domestic demand, last week or the week prior, just with all the disruptions in the world, have we seen any impacts of some of that export slow? Or when will we maybe see some of those numbers start to appear as far as international exports are concerned?
So on the export side, we really only have the official trade data from January. So if we think back to January on what we knew about coronavirus, where it was, how fast it was spreading, that was in the very early stages. And so that trade data probably doesn't reflect what we would consider the full impact quite yet. If I just look at the January numbers from a year ago, beef exports were 3% up. We saw some strong gains to Taiwan, China, China was 7% up, even though they were still experiencing some of the disease. Vietnam saw some strong growth as well. When we look at the pork side, we still saw tremendously high pork exports. So we were looking at January, just for the month of January, pork exports being 39% higher than a year ago. Huge gains to China, huge gains to Hong Kong. Mexico saw some growth. And so far, exports are really showing a very positive picture. Now, I still think we're going to see year-over-year growth in pork and beef exports, even though coronavirus is present. And some of that is just the protein deficit I mentioned before with African swine fever. You still have folks that need protein in their lives, need to import it from somewhere. But the trade flows are going to be probably disrupted by this event, whether it's people traveling, just a more slow and difficult process. And so what that fully looks like, we don't quite know yet.
And Caitlin, I guess my final thought or question for you is, obviously, the cattle markets and just livestock markets in general have seen continued volatility month after month after month. And so what is it going to take to even out some of these markets and make them less vulnerable? And I know maybe one step forward is, some of the packers over the weekend announced, they're going to be adding some premiums for those who feed cattle. What direction do we see this market going, or what's it going to take to level it out?
Well, the futures market today on Monday, March 23rd, was limit up. And I think that had a lot to do with that announcement you're referring to, where packers are stepping in and going to offer some payments to cattle feeders in response to this disease effort. And I think the industry, it's positive for the industry to realize that we're all in this together, and that the input side, it's not one segment of the supply chain that's going to be affected by a disease event. Now, you asked when do I think this is going to settle out? And that is probably, in my mind, not going to occur until we feel as a society that we've seen the peak, right? Whether that's in the U.S. Or the world. I think once we feel like the disease has reached the worst it can get, you might see the markets settle out a little bit and look past this event towards the future. Now, the cattle on feed report that was released Friday, I thought, was fairly positive, particularly for the cattle side. We're marketing cattle at a very aggressive rate in February. Marketings were up 5.5%, but placements were down, and a lot of that has to do with the dynamic between that fed cattle price and those feeder cattle prices not showing that they're going to be above break even. Now, I think March will probably show that placements are down again, but what that means is, looking forward, that fed cattle supplies are probably going to be fairly tight looking towards closer to the fourth quarter. And if we're past the peak of this, that's going to be a very good thing for cattle prices. You'll see those ramp up. If we're not, and we're still in this uncertainty phase and unknown, maybe it's not quite as promising. But I think ultimately we need some positive motion in terms of certainty in order to get these markets to calm down.